Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about, in this part of the program, about a prophet by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. If you haven't got his book, it's In Light of Eternity. And I love what he has on his tombstone. He has on his tombstone, this is, presently, I think that's what I'd like to have, is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?
Yeah.
Is that powerful?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That means every time somebody comes by your grave, you're still preaching the gospel. That's your whole reward still hasn't come in yet. That's Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That is so cool. And Charles Sepiel's reading this book, and it's a story about his life and his journey. I thought was pretty interesting. This one particular article in there, and this man, explain some of his impact, John, as I'm looking this up.
This is a tremendous man of God gift to the church at large. This was a prophet who spoke incredible truth. This is a man of deep prayer, and it was very serious about God and the church and the church's destiny. And this man is from London. And I can remember some really amazing stories. In fact, it's interesting that the title of the book is called In Light of Eternity, because one of his famous quotes is to stamp eternity on your mind, on your forehead, and to live with it, with that perspective. But he's from London, and even from an early age in his life, when he was a young man, they would him and his friends would just go, you know, across the countryside and just preach these revivals. Intense. Right. They'd sleep in.
Well, I have that right here. That's what I was going to talk about. That there. This is this particular newspaper that was writing an article on them in 1925. This man by the name of Samuel Chadwick, during a particular period of time, he just had this. He saw this. Believe it or not, this is what it says. He began to ponder over the spiritual conditions of the world. All around, there were signs of moral collapse and economic failure.
Wow.
It's like 1925. Worse still was the neglect of religion, the Sabbath, and the church. And so he had this vision of getting together a whole bunch of young guys and leading to the Lord, training them up and launching them out. And this paper writes about him. That's what I wanted to be able to share about the teams. You continue talking, try to talk about this, that he would send them out. He says, this paper writes, it says, this is his vision. He would send forth a band of young men full of faith in the Holy Ghost to preach Christ to the multitudes unreached and unsought by the church, and they will receive no salary. This is important, because if you want to reach a people, the last place you got to go to, you need to go to, is the people who think they already have God already.
Yeah,
because they're going to be the most difficult folks to reach, because they don't understand. The Pharisees did not understand that you don't have God yet.
Yeah, they're blind.
They're blind. And so he sent them out the street, and then he sent them out with no salary. Well, that would really, we're not talking lettuce here, Steve Hill said. He said, they will go as they are led, in other words, led by the Spirit, and they will live by faith. No collections will be taken. No subscriptions, which I guess partnerships on an annual basis, will be solicited. No favors begged, but they will tramp, which is camp, from place to place, preaching and testifying and singing in the streets, marketplaces and village green pastures and beaches, depending upon where they're going to be at. And this was his vision, to be able to send them out. And so Ravenhill was one of those teams that was going to go out. And this was his vision. The paper was writing about it. And they would just show up. They go about 30 miles a day. And they would just go, because when I would hear about Ravenhill, I didn't understand the original, how it happened. I thought he just got this call and he went. But really, Chadwick got this vision of that the only way we're going to be able to change things is to train and launch. We have to train, you know, groups up and launch them out and just have them infiltrate society to begin to share the love of God and win folks to the Lord. And they were winning. They had a song that they would sing. It was something about almost like the millionaire down to the poorest person. They're bringing them all to the Lord. But think about it. In that day, 1925, you know, not having, I mean, there was no Holiday Inns. There were, besides, there's no collections. And so they have a picture of them sitting on the side of the street in the bushes, you know, eating something and mm-hmm. and as happy as they can be.
Yeah. Slept in tents.
Yes.
And just wanted to do the you know, God's will, you know, reach souls. This is an awesome man. I've actually, there's recordings of him, and I have actually cassette tapes of his messages, and they're so just filled with fire and conviction and passion. But this man was also an incredibly humble man. He was not about any kind of self-promotion at all. In fact, he was very good friends with A.W. Tozer, another just amazing man of God, and they were very good friends. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it said that one of the reasons why Leonard Ravenhill is not as popular as A.W. Tozer are well-known is because he just never promoted himself at all. Mm-hmm. But this man was spiritual father to Steve Hill. He's spoken to the lives of Dr. Brown, Michael Brown.
Christ for the Nations.
Christ for the Nations. Mm-hmm. In fact, I believe even Keith Green, he's spoken to Keith Green's life.
Oh, wow.
Worship leader who passed and went to be with the Lord in the 70s or in the Jesus movement, I believe.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Just absolutely awesome.
I got pictures of him in this book with him sitting with Keith.
Yeah, the impact of his life is just amazing. I've heard stories of men that had to preach in the same conference. Other men of God said, "I don't even want to preach when Leonard Ravenhill is there. I don't even want to be there," because he was just very serious about holiness. Mm. Holiness, holiness, holiness. And that was his main message, holiness and repentance. In fact, he's one of... he's well known for a book called Why Revival Tarries. And again, you know, about repentance in America, repentance around the world, a man of prayer. His son, David Ravenhill, was an instructor here in the Gulf Coast area for a school of ministry, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, and has just continued his father's legacy. But just amazing.
What I thought was pretty interesting in reading parts of his book was that Charles Stanley in the 70s, I believe it was the 70s, he writes about how there was a powerful move taking place at Charles Stanley's church and in Atlanta. And he was preaching, and Charles had told him basically everything is good in the congregation, everything's fine. And he didn't preach, you know, if he had anything left to preach. And all of a sudden, he just felt like the Lord led him to preach on prodigals. And he's thinking, oh my goodness, Charles is not going to like this, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously he thinks prodigals here. So he spoke on prodigal fathers. And when he finished talking about prodigal fathers, prodigal, you know, that left the Lord, man, the altar is just flooded with fathers just weeping and crying. And then after praying for them, they went back and they prayed for prodigal children. Mm-hmm. And then the children mm-hmm. came.
Wow.
And then they told him at that point, this is what's written about his book, he's going to go out the back or something in the church. And Charles, the church tells him, don't go out back because that particular building back there is filled with homosexuals. That's what he said. And Leonard says, you know, what are you talking about?
Right.
And so the next thing you know, the whole altar is filled with all these folks that were in the homosexual lifestyle and getting saved. And so Charles comes up and says, Leonard tells Charles, you pray for these guys. And he started to pray for him, and he said, I can't pray for him because the only thing I ever prayed to this point was that they would actually leave the city.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And Leonard Ravenhill's heart, he loved people. He loved everybody. And he knew that anybody could be saved if they come to the Lord. Mm. And, of course, he was broken based on what he's writing about this book, that he shouldn't have felt that way. And you realize all this time, I should have been loving on these people instead of rejecting them and just, you know what I'm saying, that type of thing. I thought, man, this is so powerful.
Wow.
Because everybody's created in the image and the likeness of God. God loves us. I mean, he loves us. He has a plan for your life, and there's nothing too dark or too wrong that God cannot forgive us and cleanse us. I thought it was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
A pretty powerful thing. And that, you know, some people, you know, preach their preferences and pray out their preferences versus like God wants every man to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And if you want to find out more, we'll make it available, access to it. In Light of His Integrity, it's the biography of Leonard Ravenhill.
We'll be right back.
I'm not the son of God because you say I am. I'm the son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says he will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says he has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Just speaking about, you know, having not wanting to miss what God's doing in the world. And the truth is we became very self-focused as Americans and even American Christians. I mean, think about it. If other nations became as blessed as America is, and America went down to a third world nation, how many missionaries would all of a sudden there would be going like, you know, I want to go to that capital nation that's got, you know, great living, you know, but it's difficult. You know, this is what Jesus said. I mean, he said it. He just said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Mm. And the disciples' response was, well, then who can go? She said, and this is how significant it is. He goes, well, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And you have to really be very careful when you're blessed that you don't all of a sudden make the blessing your God. Mm. And the rich young ruler, think about the rich young ruler. He would, you know, he thought he was right. He thought he was right because he said, what do I got to do to be saved? And Jesus began to explain, you know, don't, you know, commit adultery and these different things. And he goes, I've done this since all of my life, you know. Here you can see it, right?
All 13 years old.
Yeah. Was he 13?
I'm just joking.
I thought he was older than that. Anyway, so he, yeah, right, though. And so Jesus says, oh, yeah, one more thing. If you're going to go through the eye of the needle, you know, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, for him, he had to give everything he had to the poor. Because that was his God. It's not that you have to give everything, but maybe so. I mean, think about it. But to him, that was his God. And because you found out he chose that God, the God of money and wealth, over God, over Jesus. He chose that. Mm-hmm. And he says he walked away sad because he had many things. Mm. And you think about Francis Chan. I mean, it challenges you in living small and living flexible. Mm-hmm. And they move, just willing to move into to do anything, to do whatever God said. It's just beautiful to be able to see that. And I think, you know, one thing you said on the break, John, is important for us to you talk about global citizens now, and you're starting, it's like people say, you're talking one world economy. Well, it's kind of obvious when you can email to China in 5 seconds and you can buy your products at great discounts from, you know, India. And I mean, you're not going to be able to stop that happening. The question is that going to be your God? And that's a, you know, global citizen is that you start thinking about, well, what we're doing here, we cannot enslave an entire nation to feed our nation low income, low priced products. We start thinking about, you know, the reason why this company has such low prices is because this other country, for example, in India, is paying, you know, dollars. Where we pay thousands of dollars, they pay dollars for. And that's why you get it at a lower price. So as a global citizen, you start, some people take advantage of that by doing that. But you were talking about being global Christians, right?
That's right. The perspective is, we put all the emphasis on exactly what you just been saying, when in reality, we need to put our focus as a global Christian so that we're just not focusing on what's happening in our own country or in the kingdom of God as we're experiencing it in our nation, but to look at the kingdom of God across the globe and relate that that person's not just a Chinese citizen of China, but hopefully that's my brother and sister who just happens to be Chinese, or if they're not in the Lord, they haven't received salvation, we're looking at them not as an enemy or a competitor because of the trade market, but we're looking at them as people that we want to be able to reach with the love of God. And it just changes our whole paradigm. When you start mixing politics and start looking geography and casting judgment over a nation because of its leaders, you're looking at the wrong perspective. We have, as Christians, as believers, we have to look at all the people in the world and say, man, forget this global citizen stuff. I mean, it happens, sure, but we need to be global Christians. How can we reach the nations of the world?
E pluribus unum, right?
Yeah.
E pluribus unum. And so you think about that, and I was just thinking about some cookies that Donna had purchased at a low price, right? And I was thinking, there's no way that this particular, I'm not going to talk about the chain that had these particular cookies. I said, there's something not right. And so I looked on, you know, where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, this is how things are seem to be masked. It says, you know, it's distributed by a company out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you can call this number if you have any information. So you call the number, and that was not a Tennessean on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And they goes, that's a very good question. And, you know, and it's like, you know, where did those cookies come from? Mm. Where does this product come from? And why is it so cheap? And we have to ask questions like that. Are we okay? Yeah, we want, because, you know, we have a horrific history in America where we enslaved part of our people for a long period of time. And we see how bad that is. But I see people who say it's bad, and it maybe even their in their genealogy, they had members of their family that were enslaved. At the same time, go down and get this great priced item from a local store, not realizing a slave made that item in another nation that got paid $2 a week to be able to make that. And it's like, we got a global Christian is where we start thinking like, well, slavery's not only bad in our nation, slavery's bad in every nation.
That's right.
If I got to live with the same shirt for a whole week, you know what I'm saying? If I gotta keep my clothes longer to make sure that other people are not enslaved. I mean, how many people are being enslaved right now because people want that best price?
Mm.
And that's why the markets are turning to Asia, because Asia has people that are putting together. This is some reports. People that were putting together the iPhone or building parts of the iPhone, where some of them were jumped off the roof. One of them was reported jumped off the roof of the building to commit suicide, reports are.
Wow.
Because of the oppressive nature of what's going on. And I'm not saying, I don't have the facts on that, so I just know what is allegedly being said. But also there has been where they've taken American businessmen and basically locked them in the building over there and wouldn't let them out because of the way they were treating the workers. And it's just like, it's not, everything costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything costs. Somebody said this. It said, you know, when the economy crashes and when these different things happen, that money doesn't disappear. It just shifts. And the thing is, you have to position yourself to where it's going to shift. Well, if you're still wearing shirts and pants and clothes and all this kind of stuff, it's still being made. There's somebody in the process of making this thing. So the labor shifted. And if the labor shifts and the price goes down, it means now the laborer is getting paid less money for the thing. So the reason why you got such a good deal is because potentially somebody that is under oppression in the workplace in some other nation made that.
Yeah. What's even happening in this nation, you look at some of the way that some folks have been brought over to this country to work and some of the housing conditions, you know, you wouldn't put an animal in some of those housing conditions.
Huh.
People stack 3 and 4 stories in a bed, very narrow, and just being fed. And we got to look at all these type of things, you know, who's building the homes and what type of labor was involved in that, who you're hiring and all those different things, because at the end of the day, can we sleep comfortably knowing that we're living in a home that was built by somebody who's just being taken advantage of?
And if you don't live as a global Christian, I really believe you're going to miss out on what God's doing, because it's a worldwide thing God's mm-hmm. doing. And one aspect of being a global Christian is thinking about Israel. You're thinking about what is God's perspective of Israel and what's happening, and staying tuned maybe to VFN TV and Daily Radio Program to stay up on what's going on and go into the VFN tour.
We'll be right back.
David Weber from San Angelo, Texas, who's a technical training instructor, wants me to talk about conviction. David, I love this quote. I've said it many times. I think it's very true. One person with conviction is a majority. How many times I've seen a group of people that basically didn't know what they wanted or where they were going, but there was one person in the group, they knew. They felt it with passion. They spoke it from the heart. They were determined that that was exactly what they were going to have, and pretty soon other people began to pick up on that conviction. They began to pick up on that passion. And what do you know? Pretty soon that one person with conviction is the majority and everyone else is following him or her to that desired destination. I've often said to have an answer is a wonderful thing, but to have the conviction of the answer is even more wonderful.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The earlier program, you can catch it, where he says that Rick Joyner does. In Jerusalem, Christianity became a religion. In Greece, it became a philosophy. In Rome, it became an institution. In Britain, it became a tradition. And in America, it became an enterprise. And that's so important because when you look at the church in America, first thing people think about says, man, I got to get incorporated. You know, it's like, well, you do. You know, people have business cards going, I am evangelist so-and-so incorporated.
Right,
it's like,
right.
What are you talking about? Or, you know, people are saying, well, to be able to start a church, you're going to need $1.3 million because you have this and you have that. Mm. And I mean, the things that we've turned it into, or somebody says, you know, the pastor or the leader hears from the Lord and God speaks to them and says, you know, I want you to go left. And so he or she steps up and says, we're going to go left. And then today American church says, well, have you ran that by the board?
Right.
And it's like, I would say that is an enterprise. Mm-hmm. That's an enterprise. An enterprise, then you can actually do business. You know, the church complains about the government, how they do business, you know, right. They're wasting money or whatever, that free enterprise could do it better, mm-hmm. whatever. But the American church, according to George Barna, is paying $1.3 million per baptized believer and infrastructures and salaries and all of that. So I don't think that it does not much better than the government there. And so he was taking, I mean, this is this week when Rick Joyner's talking about that Morningstar Ministries. And so, I mean, you can see the shift. I mean, although our value of ourself in America is really high. I mean, we have a high, you know, we think very highly of ourselves.
Right.
Understand that God does think very highly of Americans, but he thinks equally highly valuable about everybody on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's equal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not all about any nation. It's about the plans of God and what God is going to be doing. And so I read about that, what he was talking about. He was talking about how that pretty much every time that the church shifted to a new nation, that it would lose some of the wrong things that it had going in it, and it would go to a next level, but also would pick up some things from that culture. And how when the church shifts to China, that it would shift in such a way that they would really purify it. And in the context of some of the things that you would be hearing from them, he says, is what is the pure gospel? What is the pure gospel? And what is the purest expression of Christianity? And the truth is, it's family. It's God, Father God, gave his son, Jesus Christ, on behalf of his creations, mankind, that they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, then they become sons and daughters of God. Family. And look at the big attack of family all over the world. I mean, it's amazing how just everything to do with family seems to be under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because that is the greatest expression of what God wanted. I mean, the first thing God created on the earth was a husband and a wife who had children. It was family. And it's Adam and Eve and,
right.
you know, their children. And so the thing about it is how do we get back to family? And one way we do that is relating to God as our Father and understanding when his son, Jesus, our Lord, said, when they asked him, how do you pray? He says, this is how you pray. You talk to our Father as our Father. Not big one in the sky, not my co-pilot.
Right.
You know, Father. I mean, think about that. That's huge. I mean, because prior to that, that's the last thing that Israel would have ever thought about. Is thinking about God as Father.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his son, Jesus, saying, I want you to pray this way. This is how you pray. Pray like I pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. So not only is it wanting, are we wanting our Father to be known and the Father heart of God to be known, is the Father's heart. You got to check that previous program. Is that we want his kingdom to come because he's our Father. Some people say, you know, what is God this and God that? Is like, well, he needs to be your Father. He's not your Father yet. You haven't entered into the family of God yet, because if he's your Father, you know that he has good plans in store for you, plans to bless you and to prosper you, save you from the wrath of to come. So think about this, that so it's family. And so one way that you would express, you know, the purity of the church, what is the purity of the church? Would treat each other like mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters, the way family would. That's what he talks about in the Word of God. And so we're all children of God. And so it's one way of thinking about, you know, we don't just dump what we've been doing in America. We want to get to the purest form of the gospel. We want to get to the purest form of Christianity. And think about this too. And I'm going to be sharing a word from Dmitry Dudeman in a moment, because Russia this week just signed a deal with China for $400 billion. USA Today is reporting, which, because of what's been taking place in the West and how this thing has been building up. And we've been talking about it on VFN Radio, VFN TV, but we're going to bring some of these words back to help you understand that God's been kind of giving us a glimpse at what's going to be coming and what's taking place. And there's a strategy. The world is being organized right now. Mm-hmm. And in a specific way. And it is totally amazing to see. So think about this. Forget about the world. We, as sons and daughters of God, we need to start asking the question, what is the purest form of Christianity? You know, what is the purest form of being a Christian? And in that, start getting rid of everything that's not pure, everything that's not God. You know, and there's a lot of good things that are not God. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it'll help you if you don't have to buy that $250 bouquet in the front of your gathering every single week. You can give that to Mrs. Jones, who's having difficulty right now with her car or something. You know what I'm saying? And so in that we're gonna be taken down to the purity of the gospel. And when the gold is refined, all the trash and the silver is refined, all the trash comes out of it. And it's not a negative thing for the hay, wood, and stubble to come out of it. It's not wrong. And your life is a lot easier when you're not, don't have a whole bunch of religion to tote around with you. And then all you have is just pure relationship with God, which is authentic, and you're sharing not your organization, not your religion, but you're sharing about your honest, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, who you just heard from a few moments prior to that, or that morning when you're spending time abiding with him. And the true church arises. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.